be
was
good.
Was that some kind of power play, Chad, that you
welcome
wanted to...
Welcome to the HBO Boys podcast.
You really did
podcast.
Jump in on that. I'm... You, I am one. James, you are two. Take that one from
Ryan.
Oh,
hi, everybody. Welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Ryan is on vacation. He's wasted away again in Margaritaville. And so there's going to be an episode that's going to cover two episodes of Westworld next week. And so we thought we'd spend some time talking about the MCU movies and shows that we have ignored on the pod so far. And so today it's Chad and I are going to talk about all of them. And then Adam's going to join us to talk about Doctor Stranger Things because he's seen that one.
Yeah.
Well, Doctor Stranger Things?
Yeah.
JR's going to join us to talk about Miss Marvel. Because he's seen that one.
Right on.
Thanks, JR. Okay, so.
I was on mute.
Playing the part of JR this week will be Adam.
Already on mute.
So before you start, I will say Ryan just called in to me about 5 minutes ago. And he was very drunk. And he refused that he was drunk. So, Ryan, you're going to listen to this. Say, I wasn't that drunk. You were pretty drunk. And I have three people here to confirm
Adam, do a dramatic reenactment of your phone call.
Okay. I saw it, dude. Hey, man, what's up? We're about to record the show that you were absent from. Oh, that's pretty sick. Yeah, dude. What's going on? I don't know. Dude, are you drunk?
I like when he heard I was here and he was like, have you seen Westworld yet?
Yeah.
No, Ryan.
Has James seen Westworld yet?
Next week.
No. He hasn't yet. Okay. And then Chad said in my ear, does he not know that we're about to record? So, yes, Ryan, we're recording.
And this is that recording.
In Destin.
Take it away.
This is that recording. Okay,
well,
yeah, now we
before
can
we get into Doctor Strange, I just want to talk generally, like, how do we feel that Phase 4 is going so far? Phase 4, by the way, is Spider-Man 2 up until now, Thor 4. For me, it's been pretty hit and miss. I kind of felt like Phase 4 is a little aimless so far. Like,
yeah.
A little bit fillery, kind of, is that fair to say?
I kind of feel like they're it's not that they're aimless, it's that they're kind of pushing us into they're pointing in more than one direction, you know. It's not that there's no thread connecting them all, because they all vaguely talk about multiverses and they talk about dimensions, but while like Doctor Strange talks about alternate realities, we've got the Lokis talking about like the timeline, which is a different kind of multiverse, and then we have all these stories that are talking about gods and like god, like demiplanes and like celestial dimensions. It doesn't seem like those things are the same. So it feels really disconnected. And all the while we're getting these hints about the young Avengers. And I struggle to see like where all those ends meet for a storyline about the young Avengers.
Yeah, there is a lot going on, and it's so different than what the Phase 1, 2, and 3, you know, the original Avengers up to Infinity War. That's kind of what 10, 11, 12 years of MCU buildup led to, and now I feel like we've crescendoed going on to something else, so it feels strange to me. It's characters I've never heard of in a lot of cases, and I'm learning about. So, you know, there's a sense of unfamiliarity that's like, do I like it as much as the first one? Will I not like it as much? You know, and it's I think some of it is aimless. Some of it has a purpose. I just don't think we know everything yet.
Right.
So, JR, am I correct in my understanding that you're somewhat of like a latecomer to the MCU, and so it's all been a little bit compressed and faster getting through all of it for you?
Yeah, the fastness has definitely made life much easier up until last, you know, a couple of years. But to Adam's point, like, all of it was kind of new to me. So every character was a new thing. So I don't mind all that newness. is it as good as, you know, original Avengers and Iron Man and, you know, the original Thors and the original Guardians? No, not even close. But we're not really seeing that yet, so it's kind of hard to tell. I mean, this is like it seems like more of a hard left turn than kind of the crescendo. Right. It seems like they have to go left, and then they're gonna, you know, multiverse it back around.
So, JR, as someone who's ingested all these pieces of content more recently, did you feel like there was a connective tissue between all the storylines before Avengers 1? Or did it feel as disconnected until we were told how they were connected?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, I literally have the Disney app open to look how they're phrasing the phases. And it does, I mean, right. Other than all of Iron Man, it does seem very disconnected. I mean, it's Iron Man, Thor, no connection. Captain America, no connection. And then finally, the Avengers is the last thing in phase one. So it's not until you kind of get to the end of each of the phases that you really see the connectivity between really the phases, let alone everything that kind of came before it. It's just kind of like the ensemble movie at the end of the phase.
And so, that was the inception of the post-credits scenes, too. We found out a lot of intertwining through those post-credits. And then, I don't know if you remember the Marvel one-shots they did for phase one.
Like All Hail the King?
Yeah. So there was, I think that while it was, you know, if you were brand new to it and watching it, it was disconnected until you found out, oh, we're just learning about each hero in the Infinity War saga. Or the Avengers saga in the first couple movies. But I think it was more cohesive building those characters than current, I think, for sure.
And in terms of movie quality, maybe we tend to look at these things in rose-colored glasses. Sure. JR would probably have the most perspective on this. But, like, I think in terms of movie quality, we really peaked in phase three. Right. Yeah. And then I feel like in phase four, we've gone back to like phase one quality, like pretty good movies.
You know,
like,
not I think that might be because it's a gamble again. Iron Man, people didn't expect Iron Man to succeed. People didn't expect Thor to succeed. You know, it wasn't back then. Superhero movies were like, oh, a superhero movie. Well, that's going to be shit.
That's nerdy.
And I think that it wasn't until the Avengers that you really kind of pulled all those previous stories into one collective, and the sum was greater than its parts. So I think that after phase three, like, there was very much like a conclusion to they're calling it the Infinity Saga. And now they're kind of throwing Marvel at the wall to see what sticks, and then they'll put the budget and time into it. I'm guessing, but it kind of seems like they're it's a scattershot, it's a buckshot. They're seeing what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, there's some movies in there, like I mentioned, Black Widow.
Yeah,
not great, but
Eternals. Eternals,
the Eternals,
weird.
Yeah. Weird, right? But then you have some that shine through, like Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Was so good,
that was really good.
I want him. I want more of him. That felt more comfortable, I guess, if that's even the correct word to use. It felt more comfortable, like, as a stepping stone to the next version of the Marvel universe.
I will say one. So the Eternals was supposed to be a show, and I think that anyone who watched it kind of sees that they tried to compress a much longer story. So I think that suffered from that. But Doctor Strange and Thor, I mean, I don't know what you guys think about those movies, but I really enjoyed those movies. So
What's the first Doctor Strange movie?
The second Doctor Strange.
I think it's been the most recent one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel like those were a decline in quality. I think that Black Widow felt like a little out of place because it should have come out 5 years ago.
That's true, yeah.
And I think Shang-Chi was great.
Yeah.
And
well, it's interesting that you say Eternals was supposed to be a show. And I'm watching that movie, and now I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe, it probably should have been. And that's so funny because most of these MCU shows, including Ms. Marvel, which I enjoy, I'm like, well, this probably should have been a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Obi-Wan Kenobi suffered from. Like, they said, oh, it should have just been a 2.5-hour movie. instead of a whole show. Like, I don't know, some shows.
And Someone Handline has cut down Obi-Wan Kenobi into a 3-hour movie, and it's much better.
Yeah, oh, really? I gotta watch it. Yeah, I gotta watch it.
All right. So the last thing I just want to say before we start talking about Doctor Strange 2 is that this news article, which I think a lot of people didn't really catch this when it happened, but like at the end of April, Kevin Feige said that him and the other MCU bigwigs had planned, again, at the end of April, to have a writer's retreat where they were going to go to a campground or a resort or somewhere, Camp David, and plan out the rest of Phase 4. And everyone took that as like good news. But then I was thinking, shouldn't you have done this in 2020? Like,
yeah, right.
Either after Endgame or preferably before Endgame. Like, they're just now doing this.
Know where you're going, right?
Right. And so it kind of makes me feel like, and this might be a through line for everything we're about to discuss, it kind of makes me feel like everything that happened prior to that meeting where they figured out what they're going to do for the rest of Phase 4 is kind of not exactly filler, but like not planned, not thought through that clearly. And probably a lot of this, and who knows if they've been doing this the whole time, will be them working backwards. Right. And instead of having a plan, they're like, okay, well, this worked and that worked. We'll pretend like that was a big deal this whole time.
I think that that's exactly what they're doing. I think that's exactly what their plan is. Because I think they caught lightning in a bottle with the Infinity Saga.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I don't know if they are confident that they can do it again on purpose.
Yeah, right.
So I think that's exactly what they're doing. They made a couple things. They made like the first properties or the first pieces of media and a couple of different properties. And then they see what works. They cling on to that. They make it vague enough so that they can tie everything together, and then they run with what works. I think that's exactly what they're doing.
You know,
and
what's
that might be
though,
smart.
The first, phase 1, 2 into 3, you know, like I said earlier, it took 12 years to set that whole system up, I guess, of all those characters, set all that up. It took 12 years. Do you think they want to wait 12 years to do it again? It was kind of a once in a generation type of entertainment to consume, because I don't think people are going to want to wait because they have it now, you know, and
right.
We're creatures of instant gratification, which, but me, like if they have the same quality and the same story buildup as the first couple phases up to, you know, Infinity War Saga, the ending of the Infinity War Saga, I would wait 10, 12 years. And, you know, as long as the movies were consistently releasing and the characters were fully vetted and we, you know, they knew where they were going with it.
And it didn't feel cheap.
Right. And it didn't feel cheap or rushed just to get it on to a service, you know?
Well, just one final thought. I think I've said this before in the pod actually, but I wouldn't be surprised if after Endgame, where everything came to a point, they played a safer route where they had kind of tangent story arcs that had minor converging points, like smaller end games for like the space thing. Here's an end game for the time travel stuff. Here's an end game.
Here's another end game.
But no. But I mean, like where they give you the same moment but right. smaller scale. Just because for the risk of investing all of the money and time into doing something that might not be as successful, like maybe we know that James likes the garbage shows like Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So an Endgame that ends that storyline
somehow will, Carly has returned
will be more satisfying for him than, you know, someone who prefers the Spider-Man interdimensional travel storyline where that has its own conclusion.
Right. I just don't think we will ever see again the type of theater response that Endgame got when Steve Rogers grabbed that freaking Mjolnir.
Except it
will never happen again.
Doctor Strange right now that we're about to talk about.
Okay. So yeah, let's talk about it.
I didn't cheer in Doctor Strange. Let me just say that.
I freaked out in Doctor Strange.
Did you?
So
yeah.
All right.
JR has not yet seen Doctor Strange.
No, I have.
So we should not spoil it. You have.
Spoil away.
Well, then stick around then.
Yeah, I'm sticking.
JR, what did you think? Okay. What did you think of Doctor Strange, JR?
I didn't see it in the theaters. I had to wait to stream it, like I think a lot of people. And I had to rewatch the beginning of it. I was like, wait, hold on a second. What the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, it was kind of, yeah, it was a little like kind of intense all of a sudden. And I was like, slow it down. So I had to kind of rewatch.
Hey, Kevin, slow it down.
Slow it down. I had to rewatch. I think overall it was enjoyable. It kind of felt like, it felt like I was missing a lot still. Like they could have done so much more. And then I think it played into What If kind of scenario almost too much. Like I think people liked the Strange episode of What If and they were like,
yeah, that was the most popular one, I think.
Yeah, they added shit to the movie because of it.
Just very quickly to talk about the plot of Doctor Strange 2. One of the future Young Avengers, probably, America Chavez, is being chased around the multiverse by monsters. Turns out the monsters, they're from Scarlet Witch. She's a bad guy now. That's happened in WandaVision. If you didn't see WandaVision, tough luck. And so Doctor Strange has to go to all these different multiverses, but really just, I think they went to three.
Yeah.
Three main ones, yeah.
And they eventually, they're looking for a magic book, but then that turns about to be a red herring, and they just fight Wanda, but then Wanda gets sent to a universe where her kids are there, and they hate her, and she's like, I suck, I'm gonna stop being bad. And then, really, that's how it ends. And
wow, what a
simplification. The plot itself.
Yeah, what a recap. My
that
God.
That really was accurate.
Well, I'm going to say, the plot itself really not that important. What was supposed to happen here is a few things. Like, finally get some character growth for Doctor Strange and his relationship with his girlfriend who friend zones him in this movie.
In more than one dimension.
And then,
yeah, right.
And then the other thing is cameos. It's the cameo movie. There's, again, like, because Sam Raimi directed it, we have a funny cameo from Ash from The Evil Dead, his pizza papa, and then the Illuminati. And there was so much talk about who was going to be in the Illuminati. The biggest one I heard was like Tom Cruise is going to be evil Iron Man.
Yeah, right.
I was looking forward to that. We didn't get that.
It Instead, was such we got, a short scene.
Mordo, who's like still a dick in the Illuminati universe, and then Professor X, but not the Fox First Professor X. This was the animated X-Men show, Professor X. Did you guys catch that?
Yes, I did. That's amazing.
I don't know it that well.
He had like the yellow hovercraft wheelchair.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And they played the song from that cartoon.
Which that show's coming back. Like they're bringing back the X-Men from 1997 cartoon.
I've heard that. And they're going to pick it up from where it left off.
I know.
And also, they had Black Bolt from the failed ABC show of the Inhumans.
Right, which is nuts.
And then he kind of stole the show, which was ironic.
I know.
And he had a comic accurate costume, and they got the same actor to play him.
Oh, really?
That's impressive. Yeah. That scene, him blew my mind more than what James is about to say. Just getting him back for this cameo was it blew my mind. Get it?
It blew his mind too.
It blew his mind too. Yeah,
he blew his own mind.
Jim from the Office is Mr. Fantastic, which I thought that was decent casting.
He's been fan casted all over the place.
I want him. I want him.
That was a tease, like what's his name for Quicksilver in WandaVision. That was the level of like, I mean, it remains to be seen whether he comes back as Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four movie.
Right. Is he going to play the 616 Mr. Fantastic? Right. Or will that be a different actor? And then the other one was, it was Captain Marvel, but instead of what's her face?
Yes.
Carol Danvers.
Carol Danvers. It was her friend who became Captain Marvel in this universe, which like that was kind of.
Was that? What's her name? Rambo? Is it Rambo?
Yeah.
And then it was from What If Captain Carter, which, I mean, that was fun to see transmuted into,
you know,
like,
what?
The live action thing.
God, that was, she was so hot. Ugh.
Was she?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
Okay.
She's great. Can't think of the actress's name off the top of my head. It's driving me nuts. But, yeah, she's great.
That was my
I've seen the movie twice now. It's more of like a horror movie, disaster movie, Sam Raimi type of thing, which I like, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I liked that. I liked the scene with the Illuminati. As short as it was, you know, there were so many rumors flying around before the movie came out. And it was like, I don't know, five to 10 minutes of the whole movie.
I thought it was pretty good. I was a little bit annoyed, and this is something that's been annoying me throughout Phase 4, about how self-contained it was. Mm. I would have liked there to be bigger ramifications or more team-ups. I think I said in the chat, I'm like, from now on, I'm going to do the JR thing and just watch it on Disney Plus, unless I find out it's a team-up. Otherwise, I'm, you know, for me, that's about, if it's just standalone, that's about as important as one of the Disney Plus shows to me. I would rather have a team up or something really big happen at this point. I don't know. I'd like Doctor Strange well enough. I would have given it like a B+. What do you guys think? Let's let JR say, because everyone's talking over him.
I would just give it a B+ as well. I think
The
Illuminati scene was, Captain Carter was my favorite part of it. I mean, I've been waiting for them to tease kind of the X-Men side in, so they had to get that out of the way. So checking the box, done. And what's his name from The Office, Jim, was just made the Fantastic Four more boring than it was before. So thanks, Jim.
Haley Atwell.
Like, I don't care about the Fantastic Four. If they do a bad job with the Fantastic Four, it means nothing to me.
See, but that's unfortunate, because that's a product of the poor movies that have come out in the past. The Fantastic Four are not a boring property.
No, they're not. It's just been poorly made.
the execution's always been awful.
Well, they are the original Avengers. You know, that was the big thing behind them. Stan Lee's like, what about if instead of one superhero, you had four?
I mean, they're credited for saving the comic book industry.
Yeah. Well,
so.
With Flame On.
I thought it would be great if they got Chris Evans to come back as the Human Torch.
Oh, my God.
Did you like America Chavez?
She's fine.
Yeah.
She's all right.
Yeah, what she figured
her out. Name annoys me, though. When they're like, do it for America. We have to save America.
Is that her name in the comics?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, well. It is what it is.
Oh, well.
What were the comics made? Probably around some wartime.
I don't know.
And they did the thing where, like, you know, they wanted to be a little bit progressive, and they're like, oh, she has two moms. Because in my universe, that's not a big deal. It's totally normal. But, like, they presented it, again, in such a way that it could easily be cut out for the Russian and Chinese film market, because those things won't pass media standards there.
That's her.
Which is unfortunate. I wish they, if they're going to do that, be a little more brave about it.
They, that is, she has two moms in the comic, and that is her origin, where she opens a gate, and they get sucked into the gate.
Right.
Accidentally.
Except in China, where she has no parents.
Oh, really? Did they edit that out? I thought that it wasn't playing in China, because there was some, like, reference to a anti-Chinese government newspaper.
Really?
Yeah, like there
was. I don't remember that plot point.
No. There was like a sign somewhere in New York City, like some taxi cab had an ad for a newspaper that is, like, apparently very against the Chinese government.
It said Taiwan number one on the front page.
Yeah.
There was one awesome scene with her, though, where when they first, I'm going to spoiler, tell you about a full scene here. When they're walking down the street and they get food, and she's like, oh, you got to pay for food in this universe? That's so weird. Oh,
yeah.
It's free in mine. I was like, that's the best freaking line in a movie ever.
I want that universe.
Yeah, except it wasn't free.
And one last thing to say about Doctor Strange is that Doctor Strange, psychopath, tortured Pizza Papa for 3 weeks, punching himself in the face on the street. Just imagine the reality of that situation, guys. You're on the street, you're punching yourself in the face for 3 weeks straight. You can't sleep because you keep getting punched. You're scarfing down pizza balls as fast as you can between punches, right? Probably defecating and pissing yourself in public, making an absolute spectacle of yourself. Most people, honestly, 3 weeks, you probably die of exhaustion or exposure out on the sidewalk punching yourself in the face for three weeks. Doctor Strange, a monster.
He's a monster.
James, in the grand calculus of the multiverse, him punching himself in the face, irrelevant.
Right, more important than him not doing it.
So a couple things I loved about this movie. I loved that he's the scene where like the souls of the damned come back and they're like flying around and being all nuts, and then he takes over a court his alternate universe self and turns all the souls into a cloak of levitation. Mwah. Oh, I yes. loved it. That was yeah. so
well. That was also
awesome.
Very Sam Raimi. Yeah, he did the Deadite Doctor Strange.
It
that was cool.
Awesome. And I loved it.
Was that the same scene? Correct me if I'm wrong. The magical music battle.
The magic music battle. Yeah. I was just about to mention that. That also fucking awesome scene.
I know.
Awesome.
I was like, loved I love the magical musical.
Loved
battle.
That battle was amazing.
The one thing I didn't like about this movie, and it was very jarring in a lot of scenes, though, was physically the way it was filmed. And this is a Sam Raimi, like, copyright. It's the directly in the face, super close up wide angle of like the character on like a static shot while they're moving around and the camera's just right on their face while everything's right. happening them around. I don't like that. I think it works for certain things, but it felt so jarring watching it in this movie.
I think that a lot of this movie changed too in rewrites, in reshoots. There was a plot point in the beginning where like the thread was kind of dropped halfway through, where like he was at the wedding for his girlfriend there, and the doctor sits next to him and he's like, "I lost my cats and my brother because of Thanos. Are you sure that was the only way?" And then later on, when they're in the other dimension, there's like a statue erected for him saying like he single-handedly stopped Thanos. And I kind of thought they were gonna play heavier into that, where it's like, there was another way, but like he did it this way for a reason, or like like some kind of guilt arc. But they wrote that out and they went in a different direction, which is fine. It just, I felt more in this movie than other movies, a thread was dropped.
Right. Well, they needed to spend more time on the part of the movie where Doctor Strange and America Chavez go to Hong Kong and liberate it from the CCP, which was a great sequence to see.
I'm sorry, what?
Nothing. Okay. So, Doctor Strange, I think everybody kind of liked it. Pretty good. Again, a little too self-contained for me. I would have liked more multiverses, please, and more characters of consequence who don't just show up to die as a goofy red herring, although it was kind of clever. Anyway,
Do you want to hear something interesting that I'm literally scrolling through and I just came across it? So social media is definitely listening to my computer. MCU runtimes by phase, and phase one, which was six films, was 12.4 hours. Phase two, which was also six films, 12.7 hours. Phase three, 11 films, 24.9 hours. And phase four, so far, six films, seven shows, almost 50 hours.
Not really a fair comparison.
Yeah,
but are they pumping too much in this? Maybe that's why it feels so cluttered. It's because they're just pumping out so much content between the shows and the shows and the movies and the filler and all this stuff. Like, is that why? Like, it consistently keeps getting longer.
Yeah, it also used to be like two movies a year. Now it's three movies and four shows a year.
I know. It's so much content.
Yeah, I kind of wish that they made it so anything that mattered was a movie, and the shows were just kind of like stories that gave you more context, or like had a different kind of thing altogether, and like only really touched onto like the main arcs when they needed to.
Well, didn't they say they were going to kind of do that? Like, they were going to use the shows to introduce... I mean, don't forget, this is all new characters. Like, they kind of almost created let the multiverse happen just so they can be like, yeah, here's every character ever now.
Yeah,
wants to... I want as much Marvel as I can, so...
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of me, too. Yeah, so it's like, why not give him everything? He wants to see it all. So that's what they're doing. And they got so many new characters. Like, there's really no other way. But they did say they were going to use the shows to introduce the characters and then they would use the films to kind of bring it all together, or the big stars. Like, there's not a Thor show for a reason.
Right. I don't think a Thor show would be good, because we have this movie that you guys are going to talk about, but Phase 4, it just feels like a bunch of side missions after you complete, like, a main quest in a game. I don't know.
JR.
The same feeling.
JR, you saw WandaVision, right?
I love Wanda. She's so badass.
No, dude, but did you see the show WandaVision?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, that was...
I want to find somebody
assessment
who...
assessment was good. You know, it was good until it got good at the last, like, three episodes.
Mm. I want to find somebody who hasn't seen WandaVision but has seen Doctor Strange.
Ooh, my wife had not seen WandaVision.
Really?
She saw Doctor. Yeah, yeah.
What did she think?
I asked her about it because, like, before the movie started, I told her a 3-sentence recap of WandaVision. But then, you know, the movie itself also very, very quickly. Like, these are her kids. They're fake. She dreams about them. Like, they kind of give it to you if you haven't seen it. What was missing was, like, my wife did ask during the movie, like, what's the deal with the book? Where'd the book come from? They should have, like, given a single line. Like, I took this book from an evil witch. Right?
Because
none of that information is in there.
Yeah, that's true. They don't ever reference Agatha. And she's going to get her own show, too, right?
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that
Jesus
one.
Jesus Christ!
How is that
going to tie into things?
I know.
Like, talk Maybe about like left field.
Like a Better Call Saul thing.
Where's the Ralph
thing?
Boner show?
Yeah. Watch him struggle
to get an acting gig.
The last thing I'll say about Doctor Strange is the coolest philosophical concept ever: that your dreams are peeking into another universe.
Yes,
I love that
as well.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Man, there
were
so many universes where all of my teeth just randomly fall out for no reason.
Yeah, that's
just
a thing.
Glad I'm not one of those guys.
That's a thing, James.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, doesn't that mean
your
teeth
just fall out?
Yeah, that means you're like nervous about something or something.
There's something about candy.
Well, I'm often nervous about things.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you're a parent.
All right, well, next, JR and Chad and I are going to talk about Ms. Marvel, which Adam hasn't seen, but Adam, do you have any plan? Are you going to watch it at any point?
You know what? I'll probably eventually watch it, but I'll be honest with you. It's not on my, like, front load to watch it.
And there's six episodes. You can watch it literally tonight.
I know. I'm
gonna
wait
it this afternoon before we talked about it to refresh myself.
Is it all out? Is it done?
No.
There's one more
tomorrow.
Or I'll just wait till it's all out, and then I'll just binge it in one day, because only
that's
half
probably
hour
the
episodes,
best
right?
way to watch it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what's that's one thing that I'm angry at Disney about with these shows is just release them all and let us binge them. It's so much better to watch it that way.
And they're not selling commercials, so what's the point of the tease?
Yeah, just release them all. Do a Netflix. People like it. That's why they do it.
I've got feelings about that, but that's not what this podcast is.
Listen, I actually disagree too. But yeah.
Oh, see,
anyway,
I just want to get it all done with. I don't need to like string it out for length. You know.
We'll talk about this. Right. Well, I feel like this is another podcast.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, another. Yeah. I'd like to know your feelings on that though, because I'm curious. But yeah. All right. Well, this is where I'm going to break off because I have not seen any
Adam's
of this.
Adam's going to go watch Ms. Marvel right now.
Yes,
we've already
watch cut
right
his
microphone.
And we'll then I'm going to come back in 6 hours and we'll talk about it.
All right. Thanks for coming, Adam. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So JR and I were talking about it off mic.
Are we off mic now or are we on now?
No, we're on mic. Don't touch anything. Okay. And we both liked the show. I really like the actress who's playing Ms. Marvel, who was an unknown before this. So, like, damn, the nice work casting department. Mm-hmm. That really paid off.
Yeah, and she is she reminds me of the comic book character. I got back into comics for a hot minute, and I read the first couple issues of Ms. Marvel, and they got her tone right.
Yeah, I read the first collection when it came out years ago. But I assume, JR, since you're new to all this Marvel stuff, you probably didn't know Ms. Marvel before this.
No, never heard of it. When I heard of this coming out, I was like, Ms. Marvel, that seems like a ripoff.
So let me give, can I just give you a quick primer then of stuff you probably didn't know?
Yeah, please do. I don't know. I don't read comics. I've never read comics, so I don't know any of this backstory stuff.
So, you know Captain Marvel?
Yeah, I've seen Captain Marvel, obviously.
So, Captain Marvel, originally Captain Marvel was a guy named Mar-Vell, and he was Captain...
Nobody liked the character. He was lame.
Yeah, I think he had
You covered this on your... You've covered this on a podcast, Chad.
I probably did.
Because that's why I like listening to you on these podcasts, because I don't read the comics and you educate us on it.
I'll cut to the chase then. When Ms. Marvel took the mantle of Captain Marvel, that's when they launched the Kamala Khan Ms. Marvel comic book, who, you know, she's a big fan of Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
She donned the Ms. Marvel name because it was vacant.
Oh,
and she got the Captain Marvel's blessing and stuff in the comic book.
Oh, that's kind of cool. So do you think, to that point, do you think we'll see Captain Marvel?
If we do, it'll be at the very, very end.
Yeah.
I see. Let's get into the episode, because I've got some thoughts.
Okay. So Miss Marvel, she's just a normal high schooler. She loves the event. She's like a fanboy for the Avengers, which is interesting because they're real in this universe. But she behaves like, you know, a huge Marvel fan in reality. And she is a second generation Pakistani American from a immigrant family. And that colors much of her American experience. But aside from that, she's your average Zoomer high schooler. And she gets magic powers when she's putting on a bangle for a cosplay at Marvel Con. And it gives her special crystal star powers, which the effects are bad looking for.
Oh,
that.
Yes,
that's
they
one
are
thing
bad. Yeah.
For the show that's not so good is the effects are bad. They should have spent more time on that. It looks bad every time she uses her powers. Even though she uses them in quite interesting ways.
I think that's because she's bad at her powers. I think that's the idea, is it looks cheesy because she's not controlling it well yet.
It feels like watching an old sci-fi original series a little bit to me.
Or a CW Arrowverse show.
A WB special.
That's a low part of the show, but I mean, that's easy enough for me to ignore. I've never been the kind of person that was like hugely bothered by bad effects.
See, I just got a new OLED LG TV, and the picture is amazing. So, but like the imperfections like that, they're standing out a little bit more. It's bothering me a little bit, but I'm getting over it, I'm getting used to it, but it's bothering me a little bit more than it would have.
I'm going to have to look for it. So, I don't even notice it over all the fun little fan art. Pop arty stuff that kind of dominates a lot of the vividness of it. So I don't even.
I'm
really
also.
Yeah, I like the Scott Pilgrim-y aspects of that.
Yeah,
I'm also a little like that too.
I'm also a little bitter though about how they just completely threw away her normal power set and gave her this new power.
Ooh.
Yeah, she used to have Monkey D. Luffy stretching powers.
Well, more than that. Like, she could, her whole body was basically, like, not incorporeal, but, like, was flexible. She was like Mr. Fantastic, but also she could enlarge herself, like, proportionally, and she could change her physical appearance. When she first got her powers, she made herself look like Captain Marvel, like the original Ms. Marvel, whenever she did superhero stuff, because that was going to be her secret identity.
Yeah.
And that's just not part of it.
That's interesting.
That would have been even harder to portray on screen and look good.
Yeah, that was a budget decision. Is that what you're saying?
Probably. And then it's also tied into her original origin story, which she was one of the Inhumans.
Yeah.
And the Inhumans already bombed when they tried to do that in the MCU, and so they divorced her from that. And then, gets the powers from the bangles. She also has, she has a sidekick, her friend
Bruno.
Bruno.
We don't talk about Bruno.
He's kind of like, he's kind of like, you know, the Richie to her Virgil, if you've seen Static Shock. It's kind of like that relationship.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I don't know if Richie was in love with Virgil, but maybe he was. That would have been interesting. And she he likes her, but she likes this new, interesting Pakistani-American bad boy character. And through him, we're introduced to, like, the bad guys. And the bad guys, another low point, very lame. They're Jin from the Magic Land, and they're immortal magical beings, and their superpowers, they punch and kick good.
Yeah, they did kind of zip through, kind of, who's your bad guy to a little quick. Like, all of a sudden it was, they're your friends, and then immediately they were the enemy, and then immediately you learn why. And then I was like, do I trust anybody now at this point? So they kind of rushed that story.
And also, they did rush it, and like, they're really, like, it's the Flag Smashers all over again, man. They're not interesting bad guys, in my opinion.
No.
Indistinguishable and vague.
I always get mad at the flaw. The flaw of, like, the reason why they want to go home. They were exiled. Like, that's not a good reason. You were exiled. They kicked you out. Stay out. Who the hell's going to help you get back in? Why would we help you get back in? You were exiled.
Right. We didn't. We had no emotional connection to these characters.
Correct.
And the bangle might get them back to Magic Land, but in doing so, it might destroy the world. And that's the stakes. And I got to say, this show, for me, is best when... Because, like, the character that everyone compares Ms. Marvel to is Spider-Man, and that's a fair comparison. And she's kind of a friendly neighborhood Captain Marvel. And when you make her, in the very first season, have to do this, like, world-ending stakes, it kind of messed up what everybody likes about her and what was good about the show in the first couple episodes, because now it's just about magic people and the end of the world. And I wonder if you guys thought this way, too. That when I was watching these last couple episodes, where, like, they suddenly drop everything that they've been doing and they go to Pakistan and we learn about the family history and we develop the mom's character and we learn about the djinn and the end of the world. I was thinking, like, this is season two stuff.
Yeah.
We should have spent the whole time in Jersey fighting a bad guy that was, like, more street level, more personal. And then we could have solved all the mysteries and gone into the past and learned about the end of the world. Like, that should have been season two.
Right. She should have been in Hawkeye. Messed up she should have been in Hawkeye's world.
Get us interested. Yeah. Get us interested in the character before you try to feed us her whole backstory.
Yeah.
I will say that backstory episode was, I think, the most interesting of all the episodes, though.
I agree with that as well.
Engaged.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I liked
well.
It. It kind of reminded me of the show Pachinko a little bit, like, in the beginning. The show's a little bit all over the place, probably because, I'm wrong about this, is this not originally a movie? And then they turned it into a show?
I don't know.
I think that might be right.
Well, I know that she's going to appear in the Captain Marvel, the Marvels movie, which is the sequel to Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Captain Marvel, her, and then Monica Rambeau what was her? Pulsar or something? I forgot her name.
Yeah. In any case, it's a pretty good show. It's not perfect. I mean, like all the MCU TV shows, it suffers from, like, being a TV show. And like you guys are saying, like, the stingers and the cliffhangers at the end of each episode, even though, you know, most shows have gotten over that formula, but they haven't.
Yeah, I find myself needing to remind myself that the show is out and then watch it. Like, I'm not anticipating the next show, the next episode. I remember that it's coming out and then I watch it because I'm watching them.
See, I'm anticipating it. I really do. I think I'm anticipating content. Like, I just want it, so I'll take it, and I know it happens on Wednesdays, so I'll watch it Wednesdays. But I do really enjoy the show. Like, I like the anything with the ancient kind of culture side to it, I really enjoy. So, like, I love Shang-Chi. That was great. I think this is definitely, well, I think I've read somewhere, too. I forget where I read it, but it will tie into Shang-Chi. Like, I like those kind of, that dimensional side of it. I think that's, like, super interesting. And then visually, outside of the graphics of her power, I think the visuals are, like, great. I love the way it's shot. I like the – reminds me of Peter Parker playing around with his movies. You know, like, that's kind of, like, her style, which I think is fun.
It's
and
like,
then just so much color.
Like, Zach and Miri's Infinite Playlist or whatever. That's Zach and Mary Make a Porno. But you know what the movie I'm talking about.
Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
That's the one. Where it's the guy
Scott
that,
Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim, where they have like that like hand drawn kind of sketchiness over it. Like, no, that's great. I've always loved that style. Yeah. So I think they're hitting the nail on the head there. I think you're right, James. I think there's a inherent issue with all of the Marvel TV show properties where like they haven't quite figured out how to make them work correctly, like pacing or something,
because they're all just 6-hour movies that have been fluffed out into a show.
And
except for WandaVision.
WandaVision
is the only one that justified having multiple episodes.
By imitating television from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, which was episodic.
And it felt right. It felt like it made sense. The rest feel forced. They need to talk to the Duffer Brothers? Because Stranger Things has it figured out.
But for me, the whole show is saved by her, the actress who plays Ms. Marvel, and her family. The characters are really charming and interesting. I like them all.
Agreed.
Except for the bad guys. The bad guys are lame.
Agreed.
The bad guy's weapons were pretty lame. Like the guy that holds like the big candlestick. What's up with that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know any of the bad guys' names.
I don't think you're supposed to.
I don't know their powers. They just punch and kick.
It's kind of weird because based on what's happened in the last episode, so in the most recent episode at the time of this recording, like all the bad guys are dead, and then like at the very end, the head bad guy, who is Ms. Marvel's great aunt, right? She's like, oh right, my son. And then, like, her powers get transferred to him or something. I kind of feel like this is an origin story for Ms. Marvel, but also for that character.
Whoever that is.
And I kind of feel like that origin story is more interesting than the one that we got from for Ms. Marvel, which is just, like, I found a bracelet. Even though I don't care about the villain characters, like I feel like the villain characters were throwaway names that in any other story would have died in the first episode to give the hero their powers. And I feel like it took us 6 episodes to get there.
Yeah. And I don't know. I would have liked to have seen more friendly neighborhood Ms. Marvel stuff because that was what really worked, and just spend more time with the Jersey City cast of characters before flying off to Pakistan. Although I do like the historical tie-in. I thought that they made that pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's too much for 6 episodes. That should have been season 2.
Yeah, I'm sad to learn it's only 6 episodes. That seems like they're really going to force now the ending. Like they really are going to condense
it. I don't even really know what they're going to conclude.
Yeah. It doesn't really make sense, too. But to your point, Jay, like, if they stuck in the Jersey City, I think it would feel too much like a teenage kids show. And I think they're trying to fight that.
Do you know who the first villain was in the comic book?
I forget.
It was Thomas Edison. Like, the actual Thomas Edison, who was revived as a giant parakeet.
So they didn't really have a lot. That. They didn't have a lot of
That's
history to go
good.
On.
I mean, I would watch that show.
Well, it's content.
All right. I mean, I said we were going to talk about Thor, but we've already hit 50 minutes.
I liked Thor.
I haven't seen Thor.
Well, JR, you haven't seen Thor, so we won't spoil it for you. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, JR. Maybe if the ending to Ms. Marvel is amazing, maybe we can come back and talk about it. But
yeah, otherwise we definitely will never talk about it again.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Bye.
So, Thor was fine.
I liked Thor.
I was disappointed.
Yeah, I know you were disappointed. I knew you were disappointed before going into it, and usually I that upsets me because I feel like it colors how I interpret the show or movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really have any issues with it.
The whole plot of the movie is in the trailer. I feel like we don't even need to recap it. Like, there's a bad guy named Gore, and Jane Foster comes back. She's dying of cancer, so she goes to get the hammer. The hammer loves her now, and so turns her into Thor, but it doesn't actually cure her cancer, so that was a bust. They go on an adventure together with Tessa Thompson and Korg, and what do you want? They beat the bad guy. That's it.
But they don't beat the bad guy.
They make him see. It's a very Naruto ending. They make the bad guy see the error of his ways, and he stops his evil plans.
Well, they make the villain the dichotomy between love and hate, and they convince right. him to choose love over hate, and they overpower the effects of the Necrosword to remind him that he could use this great power to bring back the one thing that he loves.
Right. That's a good enough recap for me. I'll just say,
I think they gave away too much in the trailers. I think that we should have seen no Jane Foster, no right. Female Thor in the trailers. I think that getting Gore and Thor in the trailer would have been enough, because we would have gone in expecting to see, you know, oh, Thor's got to overcome this new villain that's killing gods. And then the movie that we got would have felt more satisfying. But if you put that expectation aside, I think that the story that we got was interesting, where like they were using Mjolnir and Stormbreaker as analogs for the interactions between Thor and his ex-girlfriend Jane Foster. And I just think that they did a really good job kind of showing the difference between allowing life to happen to you and choosing to control your destiny. I don't know. I like.
I mean, no problem with the themes.
What's your problem with the movie?
Well, here's a complaint you won't hear that much from me. This movie was kind of too short. I feel like we didn't get enough gore. We didn't get enough Jane Foster.
We didn't get enough of the Celestial City, whatever that place was called.
Yeah, Omnipotent City.
Omnipotent City, yeah. Name. That is from the comics, I just didn't know it.
It seems kind of rushed, the whole thing. It's maybe you could say, I don't know, it's tight. They cut out a lot of fat, and maybe that is true, but I don't know, especially for Gore, since Christian Bale was doing such a good performance, yeah. And then for have him to really not be on screen that much, especially not on screen being characterized that much, mostly just fighting in every scene, it felt almost like wasted potential. And then I don't know, I would have liked less time spent just like jokey joke, and more time, you know, talking about what's really happening with Jane and like how, you know, grappling with her own mortality and the emotionality of like what that must be like. I don't know. It was funny at times, but a lot of the jokes didn't land that well for me.
It's funny.
A lot of times, like what things that were supposed to be funny just came off as weird. And I honestly think, and people have said this, this is not an original thought. A lot of people have been saying this. This movie was created as like created by a focus group who watched Ragnarok, and they're like, what did you like about it? Okay, whatever you liked about Ragnarok, we're going to take it up to 11. And I don't necessarily think that worked. Like, I liked Korg a lot previous to this movie, and a little Korg goes a long way. And I think we got too much Korg, honestly, in this one.
So they were adapting the unworthy storyline from the comic books, but they didn't give us the unworthy part of the storyline. In the comics, the plot that they're adapting, there's a Nick Fury whispers something into Thor's ear, and it like shakes him to his core, and he drops the hammer, and he's no longer worthy to carry it. Mjolnir no longer sees him as worthy, and then we see this new Thor wielding Mjolnir in a way that Thor was never able to do it, and like there's a mystery, like who's wielding Mjolnir, In the meantime, it's like Thor dealing with like what it means to be worthy and like why, and us grappling with like trying to figure out what it was that what did Nick Fury whisper in his ear to make him unworthy. And it turns out that the thing that he said was just Gore was right. And that triggered in Thor this idea that like the gods really aren't worthy. The gods really aren't worth our admiration. They're not worth all the power that they're given. And it wrecked Thor. And that's the interesting storyline from the comic books that we have with Gore, the God Slayer or whatever he's called. And we didn't really get that. We got a loose adaptation where we got, I'm not going to call her Lady Thor because she's not Lady Thor. We got Jane Foster, Thor, and Gore in the same storyline, but not the struggle that Thor had with himself. They turned that into a struggle that he had with his like relationship past and like accepting love and accepting others. So it's kind of weird because like they adapted a great story, but and they took risks. But I think that the risks that they took, they cut out the most interesting parts of the story that they were adapting, and they didn't replace them with things that were as satisfying as a viewer. And I think that that might just be like a product of movies, because, you know, there's a lot of comic book history that they could draw from to get Nick Fury to whisper to Thor and have him, that, all that happen. But one thing that they did do is at the very end, where Thor adopts Gore's daughter and like starts like raising her as his own, that's a completely new character. That character did not exist in the comics.
That's Chris Hemsworth's actual daughter.
And it is Chris Hemsworth's yeah, exactly. But I'm excited for what Taika Waititi's done here, where he's introduced a new character that we have no preconceptions for. So I guess like I enjoyed the movie. I would give it like A minus B plus, like a solid 90%. But the fact that we're deviating from the Marvel comics in like an interesting way, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I appreciate that too. It is somewhat, you know, for me, it's changed in this understanding that like, oh, they actually haven't planned anything out by the time this movie was already completely written. And so if, cause look at where we were at the end of Endgame. Thor was off in space doing weird stuff, which is what he's doing at the end of this movie. And Jane Foster was out of the story, which is where she is at the end of the story. So like not that much has changed. We're just kind of in a holding pattern. Same thing with like Doctor Strange, actually, where it's like, okay, not much has changed. He's gotten over his relationship, his failed relationship. And, you know, maybe we introduced America Chavez and that's something. But like, other than that, we're still kind of where we were before. And that's my criticism of both the movies, is that nothing has changed in the broader story, which is what I want to see. And maybe I'm misunderstanding, you know, the point of the MCU by thinking that. I've had that thought in the past, that necessarily what I want isn't what makes the MCU good. Like, I want Civil War, Spider-Verse, Infinity War every time, but maybe that would be bad. I don't know. But yeah, I already said this on this pod. I'm going to skip the theatrical release of the more self-contained movies because they don't do it for me like they used to. But I don't know. I mean, I had this exact same complaint in Iron Man 3 and in Captain America 2, where I was like, how are you going to do the big Avengers thing and then just go back to business as usual?
Right.
So yeah, I might skip the business as usual movies from now on.
So, yeah, I get that. In Doctor Strange, we got the first hint at what might be the big storyline, which is Mr. Fantastic talks about incursions, which is when like two universes collide and either one or none of them survive. And then in the post-credit scene for that movie, we get like another conversation about incursions, and that might be the thing that we're dealing with on a bigger scale. But I don't know, maybe Civil War shouldn't have been a Captain America movie. Maybe if that didn't, right. if that didn't happen, you would appreciate the individual movies more.
True. Maybe. But I mean, like, even like, you know, Thor Ragnarok, oh, you got the Hulk and you got Loki in there and Spider-Man 1.
Well, it's Loki's
like,
oh, you always
got Iron Man in there and happy, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
Anywho.
I don't know.
Still a fine movie. Yeah, it's filler, but it's decent filler, in my opinion.
It's good. It's a Doctor Strange sequel. It's like if you watch the first movie and then you watch the second movie, you'll be like, who's Thanos? But then you'll be like, that was a good sequel.
yeah. I'm talking about Thor, though. Thor, I think, was
Oh, sorry. Yeah. It felt like let's do Ragnarok again. That's your gripe. Your gripe. Let's do Ragnarok again. What do you think?
Let's do Ragnarok again, but like with no restraint. We're gonna have Korg saying wacky shit nonstop.
What did you think of Zeus?
Zeus was funny. It was good.
I liked Zeus. I wanted more Zeus.
As far as filler goes, it was pretty good. Like I mean, yeah, Thor 2. That's fucking filler.
That was garbage. Nothing, yeah, that was a bad movie. In Thor 2, Loki dies, and he was supposed to stay dead, but they didn't. Mm. People hated that part of the movie. They hate because they liked Loki so much. So they shot in at the very end that he was like impersonating Odin. That wasn't originally part of the movie.
Yeah. So you've got different gradations of filler too, you know. And this was the better kind. All right. Well, yeah, that's the MCU so far. If there's a really good movie, maybe we'll have a whole podcast just for that. But what's next on the docket? Do you know?
In Marvel?
Yeah. Oh, I guess what is it? It's Lady Hulk, sorry. It's Miss Hulk.
She-Hulk.
Give me a second here. She-Hulk.
She-Hulk. When does that start?
No idea. But I don't know. The trailer looked funny.
I heard they were redoing her her character model because they made her too skinny and people were complaining.
Hmm. Well, if they make a thicker Lady Hulk, I won't complain.
Well, she's supposed to be like, you know. Actually, it's funny. She's supposed to be like a caricature on how sexualized female superheroes are. And it seems like they're going to do it, like where she's like a parody of a female superhero. Because like even in the trailer, there was like all this like sexy nonsense going on.
Right.
So I hope that they do it, and I hope that it lands right. Because if it doesn't land right, it's going to feel like bad humor. But anyway, yeah. It comes out August 17th. So you'll hear it here first. Or excited for that. Yeah, or after whatever HBO thing is happening.
Right. All right. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.